Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
All right, Exodus chapter number 14, and I want you to join me there. And I want to also give you a little bit of a, maybe a challenge to read Exodus chapter 13, 14, and 15, because it has some great significance. I'm departing from, if you're following along in our reading, this isn't from our reading this week. I'm departing from that because we really are in a time where we feel some impossibilities, some things that are kind of over our head, even in our own country, but certainly in our own lives. We've all been in situations where we felt like we are up against something impossible, or at least humanly impossible. Maybe it was a financial thing, maybe it was a job thing, maybe it was an enemy. You read back in the life of David, and he had many enemies, including King Saul that was coming up against him. So whatever the impossibility is, we can think back, oh man, I've been in a situation where it was impossible for me to overcome. Like, it was beyond me. I felt overwhelmed. I felt it was beyond my strength. Now, the Bible provides many narratives or accounts, not just like a fairy tale, right? It's not once upon a time, but realities, accounts of God allowing his people to be in impossible situations. And Exodus 14 is one of them. Remember, the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and they were there some 400 years. And as they grew, Pharaoh, the king, brought them into bondage. He enslaved them. They built his cities. He tormented them. He used them as forced labor. And God raised up Moses to deliver them. He was in Pharaoh's family by providence. He was in Pharaoh's family. And God raised up Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But it wasn't going to be an easy thing. It was going to be a very difficult thing. And God was going to bring glory to himself by bringing out the children of Israel under the hand of Moses. God was going to use the 10 plagues to prove his power over all the gods of Egypt. And so systematically, God worked through the gods, the Nile. They worshiped the Nile because they thought it was a source of life. He turned it into blood. They worshiped the earth. They worshiped the cows. And God brought diseases upon them that got rid of all the cows. They worshiped these things, and God systematically said, oh yeah, well, here's a little bit more. Frog. Can you imagine the land filled with frogs? All these different things that they worship, these different gods of creation, just like our world today is worshiping the God of creation. They're worshiping the creation more than the creator. So did in Egypt. And so God showed them, I am more powerful than all these things. And we get to the plague of lice. God alone could make lice out of dust. The Egyptian magicians could not. And they said, this is the finger of God. And so God was going to bring them out by a strong hand. And so God brings them out, and they begin their journey after the last plague, or the last judgment against Egypt, was the death of the firstborn of all those who did not have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of the house. And that was a picture of those that are not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Will experience death. And we realize that when we are washed in the blood, just like Allison just gave testimony of, receiving Jesus Christ, we're free from an eternal death apart from God in a place called hell. It was a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. So it was all pictures. So God brings them out of Egypt, and they begin their wilderness wandering. And I want us to have this picture, this map up here, just to catch a little bit of the picture. So Egypt. And north there, the upper right-hand corner is up where Jerusalem is, and the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. So we're down here in Egypt. They lived mostly in Goshen, but God was going to bring them out. And God brought them through the wilderness and brought them into a spot that was very, very difficult for them to get out of. They were coming up against the Red Sea, as you see that second dot down there. They're coming up against the Red Sea. And this is the believed crossing of of the Exodus and realize that they came up against an impossible situation. I want us to note that. But God oftentimes allows you and I to come into impossible situations. Now, I want us to look here at Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, notice the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness, notice, hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. So God is giving this word to Moses. I want you to lead them down the way. Remember, they have been promised land in the land of Canaan. They've been promised this, but God was going to lead them out of Egypt, and he was going to give them this land. But on this way, God says, I want you to camp right here. Now, sometimes God leads us to the points in our lives, and they all of a sudden become impossible. We can't move forward. We can't go backward. We can't go side to side. And we realize, what in the world? Why did God lead me to this point? Why did God seem to guide me by his word to this point? It seems like I must have missed something, because now I'm in an impossible situation. And we start to question God's leading. But God specifically was leading them into a place that was impossible for them to get out of. Now, that's very, very important. Because in those moments, whether that's job, finances, family, an enemy that's chasing after you, something that's haunting you personally, we wonder, like, why would God allow us into this situation? And it was a very impossible situation, and I'm going to tell you why. It says there in verse number 3, Pharaoh would know that they were there, and they were entangled, and the wilderness had shut them in. Again, give me the second map, if you would. It's interesting, as you get down to this place by the Red Sea, it is believed to be the place of crossing. They didn't cross through marshy waters. The whole army of Egypt did not drown in thigh deep water, as is tried to be explained away today. They drowned in much water. It was in a large army. But as you come down through here, and I don't know if you can really see the topography, but it seems that they were brought down through a canyon up against the Red Sea and on a sandy beach there. And there was a place for them to cross over as God parted the water. But here's what I want you to understand. They couldn't go north. They couldn't go south. They couldn't go east. They couldn't go west. God had led them into a place that was impossible to get out of, but he was going to show his power there. I want you to go on in verse number 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? They just lost an incredible workforce, very cheap labor. They weren't having to pay for it. All they had to do is pay for the taskmasters to keep them going. Very cheap labor. A Pharaoh could build cities, build pyramids. He could do amazing things with the labor of the Israelites here. Verse number 6, and he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots. In other words, the guys that were the cream of the crop, the special forces, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. So every chariot in their armed forces, he said, we're dispatching you out to this battle. Go on, verse number 7. And he took 600, verse number 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. In other words, they were able to spoil. Remember, as they went out, the people of Israel saying, take this. They were people of Egypt saying, take this. Take our jewelry. Take our pots. Take our pans. Take our wherewithal. Because they were just so happy to see them go that the plagues would cease. And so they went out with a high hand. But, verse number 9, the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. I want us just to realize they are in a spot where they cannot get out of. And the picture is they've been led there by the Lord, And Egypt is coming after them, pursuing them. And they're not just going to play around with them. They're going to capture them. They're going to take them back by force. And it's going to be a very, very difficult day. But God led them there. That's what I want us to understand. God led them there. Have you been in a situation where you know, I've read in His Word, I'm here because God has put me here, but it seems like I'm overwhelmed by this circumstance. I can't go backward, forward, side to side, I'm here. And you start to question yourself whether or not God led you there. But listen, we need to remember to look to the Lord even in these moments. God had led them into this impossible situation. You might be in an impossible situation even tonight, and just realize God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. And you need to trust Him. You need to trust Him. And so God was bringing them here. Pharaoh said, hey, they're shut in. God hardened his heart. All the army, that's a big army. Some say it was 250,000 army soldiers that came after them. That was a lot. Chariots, they were no match for this. They had the women, the children, their livestock. They were no match for standing up against this. They weren't trained in the army. They had been slaves for years. They weren't ready for this. They likely didn't have weaponry as slaves. I don't think that Pharaoh would have given them weaponry. They wouldn't have been allowed to have that in Egypt. And so it's amazing that they're in this situation. God's led them there, and now it's impossible to go anywhere. They are dead meat, if you will. Now, our response oftentimes in these circumstances is to panic. And that's what they did. Well, you look down at verse number 12 with me. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. You ever been there? They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Why did you do this? The cemeteries were full? Why did you do this? You just brought us out here to die out here. What a useless move, Moses. Why did you do this? And they're questioning God's leadership of Moses and God's leadership of them. So they began to panic. Verse number 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Literally, they wanted to go back into slavery. That wasn't fun. They were being driven in slavery. And literally right now, they're saying, hey, didn't we tell you, Moses? We wanted to stay there. We wanted to stay in bondage. They were even second-guessing their own desire to leave Egypt. They were even second-guessing whether it was good for them to follow God out of Egypt. Sometimes we, and even in our Christian lives, we can say, hey, it was better when I was just free to do what I wanted than following. And sometimes we get in our minds that following God's always going to be easy. It's always going to be trial-free. And when God allows a trial in our lives, we say, wouldn't it have been better just to be, you know, be like one of the rest of the people in the world that didn't have to follow after God, could go their own way? And they were legitimately saying it would have been better for us to stay back in Egypt, stay back there in a country that was full of worldliness, full of God-hating, and be their slaves. And so they're in a very impossible situation. We often panic when we get into an impossible situation, just like I can identify with verse number 10. I can identify with my heart racing. I can identify with saying, Lord, what are you doing? I can identify with that. And I guess you can too. Now, we should pray, as we've been learning. We should pray. In the middle of those situations, we should absolutely pray and ask the Lord, would you give us guidance? Would you give me direction? Would you help me to trust you? Now, Exodus 14 in verse number 10 tells us they panic. But a little bit later on, rather than crying to the Lord and praying a prayer of trust, they prayed and they cried out to the Lord, what are you doing? We should pray and we should ask the Lord for His help, for His guidance, for His wisdom. Lord, help me not to panic. Help me not to be afraid. Help me to trust in you. Now, as we think about this, God's greatest goal in our lives is not necessarily our comfort. sometimes he has to stir things up and make us uncomfortable in order for us to trust. Have you found in your life that when you're comfortable, you oftentimes stop trusting the Lord? It's a reality. Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 10, God says this to the Israelites once he got them into the land. He said, I want you to be aware of something. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, God says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I have commanded thee this day. He says, I want you to beware when you start enjoying the blessings of God that you don't stop trusting me, that you don't stop obeying my commands. It's a reality. In our lives, oftentimes we begin to disobey or become faithless when we become comfortable. So sometimes God allows us to go through a difficult time in order to get our trust back unto him. Did you know that a shepherd, when a sheep begins to stray and go his own way, do you know that a shepherd sometimes will break the leg of the sheep so that the lamb or the sheep has to be carried? And so that it develops a bond between the shepherd and the sheep. You know, sometimes God has to bring something extraordinary into our lives to draw us close to himself, to prove his power. It's not always easy. I've been through times where I'm like, God, where are you? Have you? Why did you do this? Why are you allowing this? What's your plan? I don't understand. And friends, God will allow that into our lives. But here's something that has often encouraged me. Psalm 103 in verse number 13. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God knows us as children. If you're a believer tonight, God knows you as a child, and he pities. He has concern for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13 that he will not allow us to be tempted or tested, tried above that we are able, above that we are able to handle. Now, sometimes we think about our children and what we give them to do and what we expect out of them. And we as parents, sometimes we might fudge up in this. We give them too much or we expect too much out of them. But God never, never expects out of us more than we're able to give. He always, he promises there. 1 Corinthians, write that down. There's no temptation in you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted, tested. Above that you're able. He knows your limit. So, oh, I don't know. I've been brought to the limit. God knows our limit. He knows our limit. Now, I as well have doubted whether God remembered my limit. But he knows our limit. Even right now, as we face things that seem impossible to us, God knows our limit. But he is going to try us. He is going to allow us to be in impossible circumstances to bring us closer to him, to cause us to express faith in him. So what does God tell them? Verse number 13, look at it with me. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Why did he have to tell them that? Because they were sore afraid. They were really afraid. They were panicking. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. Oh, yeah, right. Like, how's that going to happen? How is God going to resolve this issue? How is God going to change this personal relationship issue? How is God going to change this financial issue? Yeah, right. How is God going to get rid of 250,000 soldiers and chariots? This Egyptian army, are they just going to come up and say, oh, we're done, we've lost interest, and go back home? I mean, how is God going to do that? Do you think how ludicrous Moses must have sounded to them? They're so afraid. And in this moment, he's saying, listen, stand still. What? Shouldn't we find a place? Shouldn't we climb the rock walls? Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. The idea is to stand firm. Stop panicking, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians you are seeing right now, you will not see them anymore. That's a big, bold statement, and that took a lot of faith for Moses to say. I can guarantee you there were people in that group of, some say 600,000 to a million Israelites. I can guarantee you there were some there saying, there is no way. There is no way. And we can identify with them in that. But Moses declared it and said, don't fear, stand firm, stop panicking, and see the salvation of the Lord. This is a promise that required them to trust the word of God and Moses as he gave that word of God. Trust him. Trust the Lord. God's deliverance can and sometimes does come in expected ways, but oftentimes, many times, it comes in very unexpected ways and God-sized ways. All right, I need your help tonight. Can you think about different scenarios in Scripture where someone was, their back was up against the wall, and God delivered them? It could be many different ways. Delivered them from depression, delivered them financially, delivered a situation, delivered them in a way that's fully unexpected and beyond human ability. All right, so give me some of your thoughts. Jonah. Okay, what specifically can you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Giving him honor there in the prison. Daniel. Can you imagine staying there in the lion's den that night? Can you imagine hearing the king say, "Hey Daniel, did your God, you know, did your God save you?" Yeah. Wow. But it was God-sized. We were at the Columbus Zoo yesterday and we saw the lions. There was glass in between us. Man, those things are big. But Daniel, to our knowledge, is probably the only man that has ever lived in human history and slept with lions. Wow. What else? Noah? That was a pretty God-sized way. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine your wall being the only one that stood? Your section of the wall? Like all of it's crumbling down and your section stands. Like what a big God. Okay. Yes. So after Mount Carmel, he goes running. And how did God feed him? With a raven. I had that one written down. God used nature to feed him. You know what God gave him when he was depressed? Food and a nap. It's pretty amazing that just God is that practical. All right, any others? I wrote down, do you remember when Abraham took Isaac up onto Mount Carmel, or onto Mount Moriah to sacrifice him because the Lord had told him to? And he's in the midst of obeying the Lord, which seemed like a pretty impossible situation. Like, how are we going to get out of this? What did he say on the way up there? The Lord will provide himself a lamb. But God had told him to offer his son. And God gave him a ram caught in the thicket or in the bushes. That was pretty unexpected. Where did that ram come from? That's pretty amazing. What about the wedding at Cana? There's no more wine. I believe they're speaking about grape juice. I believe that Jesus created fresh grape juice. But they were there having a wedding, enjoying their time. Yes.
And he wasn't really prepared to do that, I don't think, but
it's pretty amazing that he did that. What intrigues me is that was a very personal situation. Sometimes we think, well, God's not going to bother with this. And God was actually concerned that they had the beverage there at the wedding. That was just, it just shows the personalness of our Savior. But he used pots of water. Go fill up pots of water. Go dip it out. Can you imagine the servants on their way to dipping that out? Can you imagine, like, is this really going to happen? But God did that. What about the sun standing still in the Battle of Midian? When Joshua was fighting and they needed God to give them aid to continue in that battle and fight the battle. So all of these are stories, accounts that God has given to us to encourage our faith that God loves showing up in the impossible. Man's extremity is God's opportunity to show himself to be all powerful. And we need to believe that. And so what I want us to see here tonight is that God has brought them to this point, this impossible point. They can't get out of it except God would show up. God says, no, I want you to stop. I want you to pause. I want you to stand firm. And I want you to expect that I'm going to deliver you. I want you to believe. I want you to depend on that I am going to deliver you and bring you through. And then notice in verse number 15 and forward, notice how that God promises to work. He promises through Moses. He promises to work as they go forward in faith. Look at verse number 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore? Why criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. Moses, what are you doing here? Go out there, talk to the children of Israel, and he says this, that they go forward. Moses, I didn't lead you here to stay here and to get killed by the Egyptians. I led you here. Go out there and tell them, talk to them, speak to them, declare my words so that they get up and go forward. Now, how are they going to go forward? They're up against the sea. Literally, they're up against the water. And friends, again, it's amazing how sometimes we doubt the word of God, and people are finding artifacts that underscore the reality that this is a historical event. But it's amazing how we doubt the hand of God. God didn't lead them through marshy waters. They were up against an impossible situation. They couldn't just wade through. This was an impossible situation. And God says, I want you to talk to them so that they go forward. Verse number 16, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. What? Had Moses ever done that before? No. He'd do Joshua, they would see it happen with the Jordan River, but he had never experienced the water dividing. Notice how he says here, verse number 16, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. That's pretty impossible. He says, you go out there and talk to them, and this is what I'm going to do. And here's what I want us to understand, is that God promises to work as they would go forward in faith. As they would go, that was in tandem. We have that song in our hymnal, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Our trust has to be linked with our obedience. Now, the key is knowing what God said. That's why we need to be in our word. That's why we need to have a steady diet of God's word. We need to be around God's people. We need to be taking it in so we know what God says. And then we also need to be listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Didn't Jesus tell us that when the Holy Spirit would come, he would guide us into all truth? So he takes his word and he prompts us. He leads us along by the Holy Spirit's leading. And we need to be ready for that. And we need to obey him. We need to go forward in faith. God told them to go forward when there was no human way to go forward. Except that if God would show up. That's a difficult time to be in. But I have seen the Lord make a way. I've seen the Lord make a way when there was no other way, when it was only a God thing. And friends, you can be guaranteed God's going to lead you into that situation. He's going to lead us as a church into that situation. Why? He is keenly interested in our faith being built. He is interested in us being strong in our faith. He's interested in us not resting on our own understanding, our own ways. He's interested in growing our faith in him. And then I also want us to realize in this passage of Scripture, God was interested in this. Verse number 17, look at it with me. And behold, I, did you notice that? And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. Who's them? Israel. Into the midst of the Red Sea, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their faces and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And God even protected them, put a protective border in between them while this was all going to be happening. That's God. That's how big God is. But I want us to realize God wanted in this day to be vindicated, his name to be vindicated in front of the Egyptians. They believed in many other gods. But this day, on this day, on this day, they were going to be able to declare, no, God is God. And we'll see that in just a moment. But God's intention was that his name would be vindicated. And furthermore, God's intention was that their faith would be increased. Look at the end of the passage of Scripture, verse number 30. And the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw that the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And in that day, they now are believing the Lord. Their faith is increased. You know, on the other side of a trial, we look back and say, ah, that's what God was doing. That's what God was trying to teach me. But on this side of the trial, we're like, what in the world's God doing? We're panicking. And friends, God has a purpose for leading us into those impossible situations. And I want you to take this and give this to somebody else, encourage somebody else with it this week. Maybe you know of a friend that's in an impossible situation. Maybe you're in that. Trust the Lord through that. God will make a way, but we must go forward in faith based on what he has said. But do you notice in the passage here, I want us to look down in verse number 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the water returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And I just want us to realize that God did this wonderful miracle no one else could take credit for. And if you look back at the end of verse number 25, you realize that even the Egyptians themselves had to declare, God is fighting for them. God is fighting for them. Friends, sometimes even in our country, we wonder if the wicked will ever wake up. But what we want most of all is that they realize that God is fighting for us. Not that we're doing something or we're something great, that God is fighting for us. And friends, that can happen when we trust God through those impossible situations. Now, I realize there's many, many different hearts in the people of Israel and in that crowd. And perhaps not everyone stepped out into the midst of the Red Sea in full faith. They were just following the crowd. Friends, I want to be like a Moses, and I want to encourage you to be like a Moses who says, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, stretches out his rod and says, listen, the Egyptians you see today, the problems you see today, God's going to take care of it, and he's going to lead us through. And on the other side, we'll be able to rejoice like they did in full faith. Hey, God has this. God has this. Now, that's not being cavalier. That's not being casual or light or reckless. But it is saying yes to whatever God has said. And I'm going to obey him. He's led me into this circumstance. I'm going to obey him, and I'm going to trust him for the solution through. Now, I encourage, and I hope it just whetted the appetite. Certainly much more could be said. I encourage you to read Chapter 13, 14, and 15. After this, there's a great song. Miriam and Moses and the people of Israel sing a great song. And it's really wonderful when God leads us through and he shows himself strong, how much our hearts rejoice and even are caused to sing because God is so big. So I hope that you'll think on this the rest of this week and just trust God through whatever you're in. He wants to build your faith. He's not going to let you just be comfortable. He wants to build our faith. And I'm thankful that he's a God that works with us in that way. So why don't we just pause and ask him to give us the determination to trust him like Moses did, even through the midst of an impossible situation. What's that situation that you're in? Would you just voice a prayer to him and say, Lord, I trust you in this. I don't know the way through, but I trust you in this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit graceketering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.